All right, so you're a lawyer back in 1917.
Okay.
World War I just started,
Yeah.
and your client, a socialist magazine,
Yeah.
they're facing charges for publishing these anti-war cartoons and articles.
That's tricky.
Tricky is putting it lightly.
Yeah.
We're talking about masses publishing Covey Patton.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
Huge. Today, we are diving deep into this landmark First Amendment case.
It's interesting, isn't it? It all boils down to free speech.
Exactly. Where's the line between protected free speech and illegal incitement, especially during wartime?
Especially during wartime, yeah.
We've got court opinions, historical context, everything.
Right.
But what are we really trying to understand today? I think it's how this case, over 100 years old,
Wow.
still impacts how we think about free speech,
Makes sense.
especially in our modern world with social media and instant communication.
Oh,
It's like a
absolutely.
legal ancestor to so many of the debates we're having
Yeah, it
today.
really is.
Okay, let's set the scene.
Yeah.
1917, America's at war, tensions are high.
High stakes.
The Espionage Act's in full swing,
Right.
trying to prevent any interference with the war effort.
Yeah.
But, and here's the thing,
What's that?
it doesn't actually say you can't criticize the war.
Ah, interesting.
And that's where the Masses magazine comes in.
They were pretty outspoken, right?
They were known for satire, cartoons, articles,
Yeah.
and they published an issue that was very critical of the war. And the draft,
Ooh, that's bold.
the postmaster, a guy named Patton,
Patton?
he saw this as a direct violation of the Espionage Act
Really?
and blocked the magazine from being mailed out.
Wow. He just decided to shut it
He
down.
basically said, "This is dangerous. This could hurt the war effort."
I see.
But was he right? I mean, is criticizing the war the same as telling people to dodge the draft?
That's a great question. It's the heart of the legal battle.
The case ended up with Judge Learned Hand,
Lernahan, a legend.
a pivotal figure in First Amendment law.
Absolutely.
His ruling, controversial at the time, but it's had a huge impact.
I can see that.
Let's break down Judge Hand's decision.
Okay.
He didn't just go with a simple yes or no on censorship.
He's known for being thorough.
He dug into the nuances of the Espionage Act and the First Amendment.
Interesting.
He introduced this idea of direct advocacy
Direct advocacy.
as the key factor in deciding when speech goes too far,
Too far meaning.
from protected expression to illegal incitement.
Okay.
He argued the government can't punish someone just for expressing an opinion.
Even an unpopular opinion.
Exactly. Unless that speech is directly calling for illegal action.
I'm following you.
So let's say you have a cartoon mocking the war.
Right.
Even if it makes people question the war effort, not necessarily illegal.
But if it said, burn your draft cards,
Now that crosses the line.
that makes sense.
Hand recognized that a free society can't function if we silence dissent.
Just because it's unpopular.
Right. Or challenges the status quo.
He was a big believer in open debate.
He argued that even if these ideas make people uncomfortable, agitation, debate, that's what safeguards a free government.
Powerful stuff.
It is a powerful argument. But the U.S. during World War I,
It was a different time.
not exactly a welcoming environment for dissent.
No, not at all.
So how radical was Hand's stance back then?
His ruling was quite groundbreaking.
Really?
Oh, yeah, consider this. It's only a few years before the Supreme Court's clear and present danger
You're
test.
talking about Schenck v. United States.
Exactly. That allowed for more restrictions on speech.
Right.
Hand's direct advocacy standard actually offered stronger protection for dissenters.
So he was ahead of his time,
In a way, yes.
pushing for a nuanced understanding of free speech, even in wartime.
He was, definitely.
But what happened with the Masses case itself? Did Hand's ruling stand?
Well, unfortunately, no.
Oh.
The Second Circuit Court of Appeals, they overturned it.
They did.
They argued that even indirectly encouraging resistance to the war effort could be harmful.
So they saw it differently.
They did, but here's the thing. Hand's reasoning, his emphasis on direct advocacy,
Yeah.
that didn't just vanish.
What do you mean?
It stuck around and had a lasting impact on how we understand free speech.
Okay, now I'm really intrigued.
I bet it's a fascinating story.
I can't wait to hear more.
Let's dive in. Yeah, it's like planting a seed.
Okay.
Even though Hand's ruling in Masses got overturned,
Right.
his ideas about direct advocacy, they took root and blossomed into something much bigger.
I like that analogy.
Thanks.
Tell me more about how this, I guess you could call it a failed case,
Yeah.
actually laid the groundwork for all these future legal battles over free speech.
Well, think about it this way.
Correct.
Fast forward a few decades to 1969.
1969.
We have the landmark case, Brandenburg v. Ohio.
Brandenburg v. Ohio.
This case, it involved a Ku Klux Klan leader.
Oh, wow.
His speech, it was deemed inflammatory.
Nice.
And the Supreme Court had to decide, did it go too far?
Too far, meaning?
Did it cross the line into actual incitement?
Okay, so another case wrestling with that same question.
That's right.
When does speech become so dangerous that the government can step in and restrict it?
Exactly. And get this. In Brandenburg, the Supreme Court, they established the imminent lawless action test.
Imminent lawless action?
Yeah, it's still the main standard today.
Wow.
This test, it basically says...
Go on.
Speech can only be restricted if it is intended to incite imminent lawless action.
Okay.
And likely to do so.
So hold on, that sounds familiar.
Does it?
It sounds like Judge Hand's direct advocacy.
You got it. Hand's reasoning in masses. Yeah, it got rejected back then.
Uh-huh.
But it foreshadowed the imminent lawless action test.
Wow, like he was ahead of his time.
Almost like he was laying the groundwork for this legal principle.
A principle that's now central to how we view free speech in the U.S.
It is. It really is.
So he kind of lost the battle, but won the war in a way.
You could say that.
But how does all this connect to our modern world? Masses was about a printed magazine. Today we're dealing with, it's like the Wild West of the internet.
That's a great point. It's where things get really interesting.
I'm all ears.
Just think about it.
Okay.
A single tweet, a Facebook post, a viral video.
Yeah.
They can reach millions of people instantly.
That's true.
So the potential for speech to incite violence or illegal action, it's way bigger than ever before.
It's like Hand was dealing with a problem that was just starting.
Yeah.
And now we're facing the full force of it.
The whole new ball game.
So how do we even apply these principles?
Like direct advocacy and imminent lawless action?
Yeah, to something as unpredictable as social media.
It's a challenge for sure.
I bet.
There's a lot of debate about where that line is.
The line between protected speech and incitement.
Exactly.
Especially online.
But the masses case and Hand's reasoning, they give us a framework.
A framework for what?
For navigating these tough issues, they remind us that context matters.
Context matters.
Like, what did the speaker intend? What's the potential for harm? How likely is actual incitement?
So it's not just about what's being said.
Right.
But how it's said and what the consequences might be.
You got it.
We can't just shut down anything offensive or controversial.
No, that's not the answer.
We have to think, is this a real threat? Is it likely to cause illegal activity?
You're hitting the nail on the head.
It's tricky.
It is. It's a delicate balancing act.
And the courts are constantly trying to figure it out.
Trying to apply these principles to the digital age.
But at least they have some guidance.
Yes. The legacy of Masses and Hand's direct advocacy.
They're still relevant today.
More than ever, I'd say.
Okay, so we've covered the historical significance and its influence on later cases.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's get practical for a moment.
Sure.
What does all this mean for lawyers and law students listening to this deep dive?
I think Masses is a great example of how legal precedent really matters.
How so?
Cases decided over 100 years ago, even cases where the first ruling was overturned.
Like Masses.
Exactly.
They can still impact how we interpret the law today.
It's true. They care.
It's like each case adds to our understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Another layer.
Another piece of the puzzle.
And for lawyers working on First Amendment cases.
Yeah.
Understanding this history, going back to cases like Masses.
Right.
It's crucial, isn't it?
It is. It gives them the tools to build arguments.
To see how the other side might argue.
Exactly. To really understand how free speech law has evolved.
It's like having a roadmap.
In a way, yes.
And for law students.
Yeah.
Cases like Masses are a lesson in legal reasoning.
They are, absolutely.
They show how judges tackle these complicated issues.
Right.
How they weigh different interests.
And how they come up with these principles that shape our society.
It's fascinating, really.
It is. It's not just about memorizing rules.
Yeah.
It's about getting those underlying values.
And Masses, with its focus on direct advocacy.
Yeah.
It's a perfect example.
It shows how one case can spark a whole chain of legal thought.
A chain reaction that we're still feeling today.
Oh, we are.
So we've seen how important this case is.
For sure.
For the development of free speech law.
Uh-huh.
And how it's relevant in the digital world.
Absolutely.
But let's zoom out a bit.
Okay.
What does Masses tell us about dissent in a democracy?
That's a great question. I think it gets to the core of what Masses is all about.
In what way?
This case, it reminds us that the freedom to criticize the government,
Even during war.
Yes, even during times of crisis.
It's essential.
It is, for a healthy society.
It's easy to support free speech when everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, right.
But the real test...
What is it?
...is when we're confronted with ideas that make us uncomfortable.
Ideas that challenge us.
Exactly. And that's when those First Amendment principles become really important.
The ones that Judge Hand defended in Masses?
They make sure that even unpopular opinions can be heard.
They do. It's vital.
So Masses isn't just a legal case?
It's more than that.
It's a story about this ongoing struggle.
Between individual freedom and the need for order.
It's a reminder that dissent,
even when it's unpopular,
it's vital for a free society.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
We've talked about the legacy, the legal stuff, but what about the magazine itself?
Masses.
Yeah, what were they actually publishing? The stuff that was considered so dangerous.
Well, imagine this.
Okay.
Bold satirical cartoons.
Okay.
Directly challenging the whole pro-war narrative.
Gotcha. Like what? Give me an example.
One cartoon, I remember it showed Uncle Sam chained to a wall. The wall was labeled Wall Street.
Whoa.
And there's this shadowy figure.
Who's it?
Representing militarism, whispering in Uncle Sam's ear.
Wow, that's pretty direct.
It is, isn't it? Captures that idea that powerful interests were profiting from the war.
What about the articles? What were they saying?
They argued that the war was all about capitalist greed.
Okay.
That the draft was unjust. That young men were being sent to die for the wealthy elite.
Geez, they didn't hold back.
No, they also criticized the government suppressing dissent.
Right, like what happened to them?
Exactly, and using propaganda to fuel that war fever.
So basically calling out hypocrisy and corruption.
You got it.
It's wild to think about how those ideas,
yeah,
which seem pretty normal today,
right,
were so radical back then.
Oh, yeah, it was a different time, remember? Intense nationalism, wartime propaganda,
right,
questioning the war effort, almost like treason.
It really shows how what's acceptable, what you can say,
yeah,
it changes over time.
It does. And that's why protecting dissent is so important.
Even when it's unpopular.
Especially then, the masses, they might have lost their case, but they played a huge role in defending that right to criticize.
The right to challenge the government.
Exactly.
Their story shows us something important.
What's that?
Free speech is most important when it's under threat.
That's true.
Easy to defend popular opinions.
Right.
But it takes guts to stand up for ideas that are controversial.
Or even hate.
Yeah. So what are the big takeaways from this whole deep dive? What should our listeners, especially lawyers, keep in mind?
Well, Masses teaches us a lot.
Like what?
First, we got to protect dissent.
Even during tough times.
Even during crises, a strong democracy needs that free exchange of ideas.
Even unpopular ones.
Especially those. It's easy to be united when everyone agrees.
But what happens when there are different voices?
That's where it gets tough. How do we make sure those voices are heard?
Without causing chaos.
Exactly. And that's where the courts come in.
What do they do?
They have to balance free speech with the need for order.
It's a tough job.
It is. And Masses, even though they lost,
right,
it shows us how to approach that balance.
So it's not just about censorship or no censorship.
Nope. It's more nuanced than that.
You got to look at the context, the speaker's intent, the potential for harm.
Exactly. And legal precedent matters.
We've seen that with Masses.
Cases from way back can still influence things today.
So lawyers and judges, they need to know this history.
It's crucial for understanding free speech law.
Especially in our world, things change so fast.
They do.
But I think the biggest takeaway for Masses.
What is?
Free speech isn't passive. It's something we all have to defend.
Even when it's hard.
Yeah, by engaging with different views.
Even the ones we hate.
We actually understand things better.
And make better decisions as a society.
Well said. So that wraps up our deep dive.
Into the world of Masses Publishing Co. v. Patton.
And free speech in wartime.
It's been a fascinating discussion.
We hope you learned something.
And maybe gained a new appreciation for dissent.
It's vital for a healthy democracy.
Couldn't agree more.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.